Jan, how are you this Tuesday afternoon?
I'm well, how are you?
I am experiencing technical difficulties, but here we are on track. There's an interesting story. It's a bit close to my heart. I wonder if you could talk a bit more on it. I see on the website that South Africans receive 21 spam calls a month, that we are the fourth most spammed country in the world when it comes to unwanted phone calls.
Right. This is according to Truecaller data. So it's important to note that this is just data from one application. But it does give you kind of like a cool relative position for users of the app. And so, basically the countries ahead of us are Brazil in first place by quite a margin, then India, then Chile, and then us. Mexico is after us. Peru is behind us. Costa Rica is behind us. And the USA is behind us in terms of spam. And in fact, the amount of spam calls have declined in the United States. So, that's a quite interesting set of stats. And the fact is, South Africa's spam rate is they've got us at 21 spam calls a month. And apps like Truecaller, and the reason for releasing the numbers is that apps like Truecaller help people to screen calls before they take them, and then decide whether they want to deal with a cold caller or not.
Okay, so taking the heavy lifting of either actually dreading to answer the phone, because I know personally that if I'm greeted with "Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, sir, how are you?" or "Is this Paul Berkowitz?" that's probably a call I want to put down in a hurry.
Yes, and when you respond with "How are you?" and they go, "Well, thank you for asking." Yeah, exactly. Your heart sinks to your shoes. And the what's interesting, though, something to note is that Truecaller, I don't think, discriminates in terms of what it considers spam. So, for example, in the last couple of weeks, I was receiving probably last month, it stopped mercifully, but until last month, I was receiving a phone call a day from Cell C's debt collection department. They obviously wouldn't reveal to me initially, where they were calling from. And I managed to figure out what was happening after I, made some inquiries for an article. And it turns out that when it comes to debt collection, the laws and regulations in South Africa are quite different than marketing. And so it can still happen that, for example, you get a brand new phone number, but that phone number used to belong. I say brand new, it's actually been recycled. That number used to belong to someone who's now racked up a lot of debt, and now you have to face the phone calls, once or twice a day, asking for, a person that you have no idea who they are. And only after many phone calls and after the debt collectors have 100% established that you do not know who the person is that they're trying to reach, only then will they stop calling. So you could be in for weeks worth of those kinds of calls a day. And Truecaller would regard those as spam as well if people on the Truecaller platform report those calls as spam.
Another story which I'm interested in, not personally, because it's about cryptocurrency. It's about prices that have bounced back. And we've seen that most major cryptocurrencies have lost something like 90% of their value in recent months. But there's been a rally recently. I don't have any Bitcoin or Ethereum myself, but I do have friends and family members that have traded in Bitcoin or in other cryptocurrencies, and I'm sure they'll be cheered by this news. Is this a rally? Is this a dead cat bounce? I know we're now getting into technical investment analysis. So I know.
Right. So yeah, good questions all. And it's a bit of a rally. It'll take a while, I think, for Bitcoin, if ever, to climb back up to the hype levels or to the levels indicated by the hype at the end of last year. And so what we're talking about here is a rally of 12%, which is really a drop in the ocean. But yes, if you bought at the bottom, then you'd be 12% up now. So it's some good news at least. With Bitcoin was sort of aiming at the $3,000 a Bitcoin mark. And to give people an idea, it was, December, January, December last year, January this year. I mean, it all but turned around at $20,000 per Bitcoin. And so now, it just took a nosedive, but it looks like it's bounced back up. And we'll see, as you say, whether that's going to be a trend. It's much too early to say because, one day or 2 days of good trading doesn't a trend make, or whether, it's just kind of, like a bear trap or something where, people, pick up, or where it'll, it's kind of looks like it's rallying, but then it drops back down.
In my experience, when it comes to cryptocurrency, Jan, and as I said before, not a lot of prior experience, when I meet true believers, often online, says in your Twitter bio, crypto trader, there's two kinds of true believers. There's the sort of the market trader true believers who think that it'll shoot the lights out and this is a good investment compared to another kind of class of financial asset. And there are those true believers who believe in the power of blockchain technology. I mean, let's go up one level to do all sorts of decentralized calculations and to revolutionize things beyond money and beyond the share price and the currency. Are you a true believer, Jan?
Yes, I'm a believer in the sense of that the underlying technology represents something that could cause a major shift in the way we do things in the world. And I'm not just talking about financial transactions, but the way we think about government as a whole. This provides the underlying foundation for all of that. But I mean, it's such early days that a much better technology could come around in the next 50 years or however long it's going to take to actually realize this idea of decentralized governance. Ultimately completely supplants blockchain, but I think it's pointing at an entirely different way for human beings to associate with one another and to trade with one another and interact with one another in a way that you don't need a third party, to handle trust management for you. Mm-hmm. And so, in that sense, yes. I do think there's some overlap between the true believers in blockchain technology and people who buy Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies as assets. The other kind of true believer that you're talking about, where folks might not be that interested in the underlying technology, but are just kind of looking at the financial performance of this. I don't know. It just feels to me like too speculative. It feels like trading, like foreign exchange trading, in that sense, even more volatile. I would be hesitant to encourage people to invest in Bitcoin, or any other cryptocurrency on that basis. It's just too early to say that, yes, this is a kind of thing that you pick up, like you might pick up stock in a company that you believe in. I don't know. There's just too much uncertainty. But there's been a lot of, comparisons made to the dot-com boom and bust in the 90s, and I think that there are a lot of parallels between those two things. And for people who have money to lose, to speculate with, absolutely, by all means. There's some really good ideas out there in the crypto space and in the blockchain space in general that are worth rolling the dice on. But if you don't have money to lose, don't put up anything that you're not willing to part with. And it almost sounds like the kind of advice you give someone before they go into a casino. But certainly I think that's the best advice when it comes to these kinds of things is, when your money can disappear overnight, just be careful.
Well, there you have it. Thank you very much, Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large for MyBroadband. If you are a speculator or a technical trader, well, then you're a little bit less poor today than you were a week or two ago. But if you're a true believer waiting for a new government, you can wait a bit longer. Take the long view.